Hello again there, folks. So I had a few people ask if I was going to do a review of Chernobyl, which everybody seems to be talking about, and I'm a little bit late to the game because it's 5 hours, and that's why I haven't done a video for a few days. But yeah, I thought it was absolutely brilliant, and I love to see dramas, well-made political dramas, of kind of middle-aged white men with grey hair smoking cigarettes and screaming at each other in a room. About having to make monumental decisions and an existential crisis which is facing the world and how they're going to cope with it all. And it did all of that very well. But when I was looking around, there's been a little bit of commentary on that, on the politics of it, which I'll get to in a minute. But mainly, I noticed that the main debate around it's been around, you know, everybody thinks they're a nuclear physicist now, and there was a woman in it who represented a whole kind of group of scientists, and you know it's feminism again, and I'm totally willing to overlook that just for the sort of deeper ideas in the drama itself, and because what it boils down to, of course, is the late stage Soviet Union, 1986, and when we look at the Soviet Union, it started off, and I've got to be careful, of course, I can't get into details anymore on YouTube. But let's say the Soviet Union was born in one of the most awful bloodbaths ever in human history. It was just psychotic. It was run by sadists completely and utterly. And then you had the Great Terror of Stalin, in which certain groups were sort of purged. And then you had the late stage where the Soviet Union kind of settled. It was never a particularly nice place to live, but it kind of settled into the Soviet superstructure, and it had a sort of conservative outlook, socially conservative outlook. And it was, as Jonathan Bowden said, the communism will breaks the body, but liberalism rots the soul. And the Russians, the people in the Soviet Union, were mainly spared the soul rot, but it was all about bodies being broken, and that's absolutely the case in Chernobyl. But when the depth of the drama, I think, was where how the system was trying to cope with the crisis, how the system was going to cope with this unbelievable catastrophe, which literally would have just could have spread all over the world, or at least all over Russia and Asia. And so you've got these scenes of men trying to figure out who's to blame and how they are going to get out of this mess. And are people's lives expendable? But then what played a central role was the ideology of the state and the state itself, because in effect, communism was the ideology was the state. The state was everything. And so the problem they had, and this popped up again and again, was that if they wanted to protect the ideology and protect the state, they would have to try and cover up the reason why this happened. Like, was it just that somebody was incompetent, or was it something deeper? And it turns out it was both, but they were willing to throw seemingly an endless amount of people under the bus to cover up the fact that the Soviet Union was basically doing everything on the cheap. And not to get into it, the graphites and all of the technical side of it, but basically the Soviet Union was doing everything on the cheap because the communism just couldn't quite cut it in technological terms against the West. So what we saw was where everybody in the state and everybody in the Soviet Union was sort of in on the lie in a way, and this where you hit a kind of really tough barrier in all of this is the mid-level bureaucrat. It's the people, this kind of the people down on the street, the masses who are thrown under the bus, and then. But the most ideological conformist are that middle chunk, and then above them will be the elite, as it is, making the big decisions and looking at the big picture. But these kind of systems do seem to rely on like having a gigantic bureaucratic middle class. And they are there, really, they keep the whole thing ticking over. And they are the most ideologically conformist in all. And it's when they begin to break ranks that you see again and again, it's a serious, very serious problem for the system. But they are willing to sacrifice millions of people to protect the ideal itself, which in Soviet Union was the state. And I couldn't help but notice that as I watched this, and as I watched them trying to cover up the lies and understanding, because there was a very strong element of political correctness in the Soviet Union. This may seem strange now, because we're so used to hearing the term in the West, but the political correctness in the Soviet Union was undermining the state. And so, to let's say, for example, to admit to the Chernobyl disaster being because they had the wrong pins and wrong coolants, and that they didn't train their own people properly, would be to say that the failure was the fault of the state, and because the state is the supposed to be the manifestation of the people, then everything at all levels of Soviet society, where do you place that blame? Where who is to blame? And then eventually the state just decides to lie and cover everything up. And what fascinated me was that when I was watching this and how they were this sort of Soviet style political correctness and how they were dealing with that, and I realized that I'd seen it all before. Another good example was that when they couldn't admit to just how high the radiation levels were, so they ordered in these robots from Germany, but they told the Germans that the radiation levels were much lower so that it wouldn't cause a panic in the West. So they kept another dirty secret. So the Germans delivered these robots to clean up the debris from the roof, and they just instantly disintegrated because the radiation levels were like thousands of times higher than what the Russians had told them, what the Soviets had told them. And again, we see this sort of Soviet-style political correctness, having to protect the lives of the state, and it just resulting in more and more kind of horror and misery. And I couldn't help but realize that I'd seen it all before, right here in Britain. Except in Britain, in Russia, of course, it was just the state and the activities of the state and the system itself. Political correctness was used to sort of cover up the fact that people were having to line up for bread or whatever it happened to be, that there wasn't enough coal going around, and these kinds of things. Political correctness was used to stop people criticizing how successful the state was in a material sense. In Britain, that's not the case. In Britain, you can pretty much say anything you want about the state itself or about what the state does. But what you can't do is question certain aspects of the culture, because we have cultural Marxism. And so what you see is the political correctness is used to protect an ideology and a way of looking at the world. And one example of this, where we see all of the fault lines playing out, which played out in Chernobyl, is the case of Rotherham. So in this case, the sort of the mass rape of working class English girls, and yeah, I know that there's the many Rotherhams across the country, many. But just to use that one as an example, because it's the most famous one, you can actually sort of compare Rotherham to Chernobyl. And so you have the actual disaster, and then you've got the problem of how the and then you've got the people on the bottom who are suffering, trying to tell these mid-level bureaucrats in council offices and child care homes and the police and local government and everything. They're trying to explain to them what the problem is, but the problem is that the problem can't be admitted to because of the ideology. Because if the problem is then out in the open, the ideology will be exposed for the complete sham it is. In the same way that if it's revealed that the Soviet Union is using graphite tips on its nuclear power reactors, which is actually because it's on the cheap, then it exposes the Soviet Union as being quite a bit of a sham, really. They're a bit of a paper tiger. And so, in the same way, when you say, well, why were all of these rapes in Rotherham and this whole child sex scandal? Why was it covered up? It's actually very similar to the Chernobyl thing. If we consider Rotherham to be the Chernobyl, then we can see that at all levels of the superstructure in Britain, but in a cultural way, not so much in terms of political power, but in cultural terms, it meant that it was almost impossible for the mid-level bureaucrats to admit to it, because if they did, they'd have to, well, this has literally came out in the court reports as well, they would have to sort of be exposed as being racists, or that interracial, inter-ethnic exploitation and tensions were rife. And one group in particular, which was the working class white girls, was suffering like much, much more than anybody else. All of this flies in the face of the diversity quota propaganda that they've all been brainwashed with. And then you've got the problem that if you do step out of line, then you are then sort of an outcast. The rest of them will throw you under the bus. And that's exactly what happened with Sarah Champion. So she's typical of a sort of mid-level Labour politician, local Labour MP, and she did come out, and the Labour Party threw her under the bus for it. She says we have to do something about this. There was a sort of really sort of bombastic article in the Sun, where I'm not even sure if I can put that on a YouTube video because of it. But she said the Pakistani rape of our white children has to end. And so this flies in the face of this is not politically correct. She stepped over the line and she was thrown under the bus for it. And we see that these kind of middle chunk of bureaucrats are the problem. And because when they do break lines and when it eventually goes up to the top, then they do have to have some kind of response to that. Maybe it will be to just further the cover up, or maybe it will be to sort of get people's organisations working quietly to try and do something about it. Whether or not that works, I don't know, but they are going to have to confront the problem one way or another. They are going to know about it. But what fascinated me was that if it is the same thing. It is the same thing, except in Chernobyl, what you saw was the Soviet style political correctness, which was purely around protecting the interests of the state. And then in Britain, if we use Rotherham as an example, you can see it's almost like the same story. And you can imagine them all whispering about with each other in offices when the news broke of what was happening. You can imagine, like, behind closed doors, you'd have mid-level management consultants in councils and whatnot, sort of saying, "Well, how do we go about this? What are we going to do? Because it is happening. But if we expose it and if we speak about it, we're going to be thrown out and called racists. But at the same time, can we let it go on? What's the moral thing to do?" And that didn't seem, in the case of Rotherham, what's so shocking about it is that they chose the party line. They chose not to be politically incorrect. And that the better option was to just let thousands more girls be brutalized and horribly abused in the same way that the Soviet apparatchiks decided, well, it's better to just use, as they called, bio robots, which is just men, to clear all of the debris away, even though they're going to be dead within 2 weeks because of the radiation. That is better than exposing the bankruptcy of the ideology. It's the same thing. Very interesting to see that play out on television, whether or not it was intended, I don't know. Just browsing some of the nerd channels, not many people seem to have picked that up. But it would be fascinating to see how these things are being done in the politically correct Britain or anywhere else in the West, but just to keep it on Britain, how does what happens really a good drama like this would be a cathartic thing for the nation, you know, if they could actually put a drama on the television about how these councils and how these government officials were dealing with a politically incorrect truth. It would be good. It would be honest. It would be out in the open, but they won't do that, and they just festers away the lies. And this is how Chernobyl ended as well. It's that the lies just sort of rot away at the nation. And Mikhail Gorbachev actually said that it was Chernobyl which really killed the Soviet Union. It couldn't recover from it, the scandal of it all. Because it showed the corruption and the dishonesty of the system from bottom right to the very top and everywhere in between, especially in that middle chunk. So I'll catch you later, folks. See you later.